We praise God for what he's up to here at Mercy Vineyard Church. Hey, I'd like to invite you. If you are new or relatively new to Mercy, we're going to have what's called a welcome gathering right after today's service. It's just an opportunity for you to sit down at the table with me, get to know me a little bit better. I'd love to ask you some questions and get to know you and talk about Mercy just for a few moments. And then I'd like to give you a tour around the building. It should take about 20 minutes out of your time, but I would love to get to know you. I'd love to meet you. So if you've never been to one of these, or if you are new or relatively new, join me after service at the long table right next to the coffee bar, and we'll have a welcome gathering right after service today. And if you notice, Pastor Jesse, she told me I could poke fun at her. She actually mentioned wrong dates in her announcements, but all of the dates that we had printed were the correct dates. You can find the correct dates on our website, mercyvineyard.org/events, and we'd love for you to check out all the things happening at Mercy. Let us get started with this new sermon series with a question. I'd like to pose a question to each and every one of you. Do you know who you are? Who are you? One of my favorite movies, Black Panther, and the sequel, Wakanda Forever. Queen Ramonda, she is very famous for this line in the movie. She says, "Show them who you are." Speaking to her children, telling them to display their character, right? When they were in compromised positions, when others were defining who they were, she said, "Stand up and show them who I raised you to be. Be the queen, be the king that I created you to be. Stand up in your identity." Listen, if you don't know who you are, someone else will define it for you. Your identity is precious. And if you don't know who you are, watch this, someone will identify you in various ways, like by your physical attributes. You know, that short guy that leads that church over there. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Right? The people will define you. Watch this. And even when I'm asked the question of who I am, oftentimes I trip my own self up. Sometimes I fall short. Absolutely. I fall short. That was not supposed to be a short joke, but I'll take it. Sometimes I'll respond with what I do or what I have accomplished. Someone will ask me who I am, and I'll say, I'm a pastor at Mercy Vineyard Church, or I was a former college professor or audio engineer, things that I have done, but those things are what I've done, not who I am. You see, what I've accomplished is not who I am. Sometimes my wife will even try to appreciate me and affirm me in who I am. And you know what I do? No offense to her, but I often reject it. Because I'm like, no, babe, I'm fine. I don't need anything. You don't have to say anything. I just want to keep it moving. I just want to keep life moving. And we often do that. We often, actually, many of us are searching for affirmation. We're searching for someone to value us. And when they actually do, we don't know what to do with it. Because we really don't know who we are in the first place. What determines who you are and what you will become is what you value. Your values. What are your values? What are your top three values, the top three things that you live by? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and say it. I'm just going to say, if you don't know and can't identify immediately what those things are, take some time this weekend to sit down and think about them. Because your values define who you are. What you value actually directs your life. That directs your decisions. The decisions we make every day are reflections of the hierarchy of the values that we hold dear. You want to know why you act the way you act? It's because of what you value. Why you say what you say is because of what you value. Values are what help to create our future, what helps to lead our lives. If you don't know your values, find them out. Spend some time. But today we're starting a new series, not specifically about personal values, though a series on that might be warranted, but we want to talk about Vineyard values. We want to define and identify who we are, because our values define who we are. And so defining our values is actually helpful for us corporately, but it's also helpful to each and every one of us individually, because if you want to know what you're getting involved in, I don't want to just attend a church because it's convenient, it's on the way to where I'm going next. I want to know, do I connect with these people? I want to know, do they believe what I believe? Are they moving in the direction with Jesus, or are they going somewhere else? Because everybody's not going the same direction. Be careful who you hook up with. So this month, we want to explore these values and identify their importance for our spiritual and practical growth. Our first value that we will explore today is the first value of the Vineyard. It is partner with the Holy Spirit. Partner with the Holy Spirit. Let me read you something from Vineyard, the Vineyard USA website, our Vineyard national website, as it pertains to partnering with the Holy Spirit. It says, our mission involves praying and finding power from God Himself to accomplish what humans could never accomplish on their own. We pray for the sick, we confront injustice, and we seek to hear the voice of God on behalf of others. This involves partnership with a person beyond ourselves. I want to be a part of a movement like that. Let us open our Bibles or turn them on to Acts chapter number 3, because I believe that there's a passage of scripture that exemplifies this value that will be helpful for you and for me to dig into a little bit today. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it'll also be up on the screens if you would like to follow along in that way. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate, being called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, would you have your way and preach your message today? In Jesus' name, amen. Partner with the Holy Spirit. What is a partnership? Defined, a partnership is an agreement between two or more parties who agree to advance their mutual interests. In today's text, we see Peter and John with the Holy Spirit, partnering with the Holy Spirit in three ways: in prayer, in power, and in practice. And I believe that this passage is applicable to each and every one of our lives. They're headed to the temple for the afternoon prayer meeting. And if you didn't know, we have prayer meeting here every Wednesday night at 6:30. We would love to have your face in the place. They are at the prayer meeting and they see a man who is lame, who is not able to walk. And therefore, in this culture, if you're not able to be mobile, you are not able to work or care for yourself. And so he has some friends that go and pick him up from home every day and carry him. There's no bus service in this day. They carry him to the temple and lay him at the temple gate so that he can become a panhandler. This is the only way that he can make a living. He got to eat too. And he's got some friends who are willing to look out for them. Watch this. Not just to put some money in his pocket and say, yeah, we're going to keep on and supporting you by putting money in your pocket to get you by. No, they said, we're going to put you in a position where you can get what you need. Everybody needs a friend like that. That's what you call a true friend. Somebody who is willing to pick you up when you are down. Somebody who's willing to take you where you need to go to get what you really need. They take him to the temple and they said they take him there, read the scripture, every day. Every day he's at the church asking people for some money. Put some change in my cup. But watch this. It's only today that Peter and John notice this man. So that means every day Peter and John and all the rest of the folks who come into church, they're not paying attention to him. Have you ever seen somebody so much that they've become a fixture? That they've just become an ornament on the side of the road and they are a human being, but you don't notice them because oftentimes we get too busy. Oftentimes busyness blinds us and we go on to work and we go on to take our kids to their sporting events and we go on to just be busy and we neglect to see what God is doing with people all around us. Or maybe you're like this man. And maybe you've come to church today because you are the one who feels overlooked. Maybe you have come here today because every day of your life, you're trying to get somebody to pay attention to you. Somebody, give me some help. I'm begging somebody, would you come in and stand in the gap for me, with me, connect with me. And you came to church today to see if God's people would do that for you. Or if God himself would show up and reach his hand out and connect with you and pull you up. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much and he notices you right where you are. He notices who you are for who you are, not what you're working and trying to be, not what you've been in your past, not even what you are going to be in your future. He sees you in your right now, who you are in your wholeness. And he loves you who you are in your wholeness. You don't have to jump and shout and do all kinds of stuff. I love for you to jump and shout. Don't get me wrong. But you don't have to impress God for him to love you. He loves you right now. So Peter and John finally notice this man who they've passed every day. What happens in their lives that they finally notice what's right in front of them? Well, I believe that the text, you should always read the text in context. We should never read the scriptures in isolation. Never take a portion of scripture and try to and make it make sense to you without reading the passages around it. So if we go back just one chapter, Acts chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit comes and he impresses upon Peter to preach his first sermon. And Peter preaches his sermon and 3,000 people miraculously get saved. 3,000 people turn their lives over to Jesus. 3,000 people say, I want Jesus to direct my life. I am tired of directing my life. I want Jesus to take the steering wheel and do the driving. 3,000 people? What would we do? 3,000 people got saved in Mercy Vineyard Church. We had to switch a whole lot of structure. But we're praying for it now. Come on now. Y'all got to bring them in here, though. 3,000 people miraculously get saved, but that's not even the most powerful part of the text. Because in Acts chapter 2, not only do 3,000 people get saved, but watch this. The Holy Spirit falls on all 3,000 of them plus. And then they, watch this, miraculously go out and notice other people. Read the text for yourself. They get up and go and see others who are not connected to Jesus yet. They go and talk to them in their own native languages that they haven't even learned yet. The miraculous happens in Acts chapter 2. It is in that context that we see Peter and John notice this man. It's in that context that they show up to the man. They walk up to the man and go and have a conversation with him. They grab the man's attention. They say, "Look at us." And what does the man do? He gets his cup together because I'm about to get me some coins, man. Yeah, come on, put some coins in my cup. And Peter says, "We don't carry cash." Hey, you ever done that? No, I'm sorry, man. I just carry credit cards, you know. We don't carry cash, brother. I'm sure that panhandler is like, "But why are you wasting my time? Why are you stopping me? You see, there's a whole line of people coming into the church, and they can be giving me some money, and you sitting here having a conversation with me. I'm here for the cash, man." And so Peter stops the man, has a conversation with him, because I believe that Peter believes that God wants to do more with this man than fill his cup. God wants to fill this man's life. God wants to do something greater in this man's life than the surface. God wants to do something greater in this man's life than just give him a couple of coins or get him by to the next day. God wants to do something greater in your life than just pay your next bill. God wants to do something greater in your life than just to make you feel better until tomorrow so you could get some more pain medicine. God wants to do something greater in your life than to just get you by the next day. He wants to take you deeper and higher and to greater heights and depths. And so Peter gets this man's attention, and he wants to partner with what the Holy Spirit is already up to. You see, Peter partners with the Holy Spirit first in prayer. In prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer is relational communication with God. It's worth repeating. Prayer is relational communication with God. Those who you have a relationship with, you should call them up and have a conversation every once in a while. What kind of son would I be if I never called my mama? What kind of brother would I be if I never got on the phone or visited my brother in Baltimore? What kind of friend would I be if I didn't connect with my other friends? What kind of husband would I be if I came home and went in this room and my wife went in that room? I'd be a divorced one. You ought to have conversations with the people you love. And here, Peter has relational conversation with God on behalf of this man. Listen, prayer is so important. It's all throughout the scriptures. Matter of fact, God says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 3, he says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not even know." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 tells us, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, watch this, I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Jesus even comes on the scene in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1. He says, "You should always pray and never give up." Meaning, if you didn't see the results that you were looking for yesterday, don't give up. Pray some more today. Pray some more tomorrow. Knock and keep knocking and keep on pursuing. God wants to see how faithful you're going to be. Do you want him or you just want his stuff? Peter is saying, I'm going to talk to God on your behalf because I see you and I'm going to seek God for you, for your benefit. Now, this is what I love because we read Peter's prayer and it's real short. Peter didn't have a long, drawn out prayer life. He wasn't, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on this person right here. God, would you show up in a mighty way in the name of Jesus? And would you do all that?" I don't even have the energy to go into all of that. Have you ever been prayed for? And it went on too long. No offense. I didn't see this happen in our church. This was at another church. Somebody was up, sitting, not up here, it was at another church. Somebody is, they're getting prayer, and the person is got their hand on, and they just praying, and then it was going on so long, the person was like, and well, the other person got their eyes closed, they just sweating, coming all down, and they just praying in the name of Jesus, and the person is just like, "Man, I got to go pick up my kids. I got to go eat. I'm hungry." That's why we say in the Vineyard, pray with your eyes open. You can be aware of your surroundings. Pray with your eyes open and be sensitive to the other person. Watch this. Peter, we get a short prayer from Peter. Because I believe Peter prayed silently before he prayed verbally. Listen, whenever I pray for someone, you know what I do? Silently pray. I'm inviting the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to come and direct me. I'm inviting God to come and inspire me. God, will you show me what to say for this person? Will you direct me in this prayer? Because if I don't partner with the Holy Spirit in prayer, if I don't ask him up front what he wants me to say or how he wants me to move or what direction he wants me to go, I'm going to impart my biases on this person. Oh, God, you ever been in one of those prayers where somebody is putting their judgment on you? Yeah, I don't want to be that person. I want to hear from God clearly before I even open my mouth and say a word. And if God ain't speaking, I'll say, "God bless you. Let God handle it. I don't have to pretend." Partnership is an agreement to advance mutual interests, meaning, when you pray and you want God to show up on your behalf, you want God to do something for you, you want God to show up on the behalf of somebody else, watch this. Tell God what he's going to get out of it first. It's a mutual agreement, partnership. God, if you bring this healing in my life, I am going to tell everybody that I know that you are a healer. God, if you deliver me from this addiction, I am not going to keep it to myself. I am going to tell everybody about how you are a deliverer from addictions and from whatever. Whatever God you want God to do, tell him what he's going to get out of the deal, because God loves answering those kind of prayers. God doesn't want you to be some gimme, gimme, gimme Christian. You know them, God, I just want, give me more. And God said, "What? You pimping me?" I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that. But that's what many people do. And God is saying, "I want to bless you, your life, but this is a partnership. I love you, but the purpose is you're here for my glory. How am I going to get glory out of the deal?" So, next. Not only do they partner in prayer, they partner in power. Partner in power. Did you know prayer brings power? Matter of fact, Jesus taught us how to pray in power. When the disciples asked him, "Jesus, teach us how to pray," he said, "Okay, let me teach you how to pray in power." He said, "Pray like this: Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, if that's not a prayer of power, I don't know which one is. Because what God is saying, what Jesus is saying, when you pray like that, you're inviting heaven to come down to earth. You're inviting God's power to come and infiltrate your situation. You're inviting God to transform your problem into a success. You're inviting God to take over and move in power. And if you know Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, guess what? You already have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So you have the source of that power on the inside of you. And watch this. They partnered in power because Peter didn't rely on his own strength or his own power to help this man out. He relied on the Holy Spirit to do something for him, not just in his own strength. So how did Peter specifically partner in power? One, he showed up for the man. But two, he spoke authoritatively to the situation. Look at the text. He spoke to the man. Whatever the man was going through, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of power, walk. That was his prayer, one word. Why? How could he do that, Peter? Because he believed that the power of God is bigger than any other power. That God can come in and change anything, any situation, anybody. So not only did they partner in prayer and in power, but he partnered in practice. Oh, I love this part. This is my favorite part here. He said they didn't just say words in their prayer. They didn't just feel the power of the presence and have a shaking good time. No, they did something about it. And this is where I believe that the church in America, we fall short so often because many of us want a contemplative relationship or religion. And God is saying, I'm not interested in just making you feel good or giving you a power shakedown. I want you to do something with what I give you. Take this, what you learn, take the power and take the presence, take everything that I'm investing in your life and then go and do it for somebody else. Verse number 7 is where it gets powerful right here. It says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. You see Peter, what Peter did? Peter didn't just say, oh, God bless you in the name of Jesus and walk away. He said, no, now here's my hand. Grab hold of my hand and let me lift you up. Let me pull you up out of your problem. Let me stop. The word here for taking him by the right hand. That's the Greek word piazzo. That Greek word piazzo, taking, means to apprehend or grab a hold of or to capture or catch. It's a word used for fishing. When you go fishing, you catch a fish, and watch this, you remove it from one environment and you put it into another. God is saying that I want you to piazzo somebody. I want you to reach your hand out and not just pray for them, but I want you to pull them up out of their situation, pull them up out of their problem. Take this, Peter took this man out of his immobility and took him to a place of possibility. How many people are you reaching out to and lifting them out of their situation and putting them on the road to success? God is reaching his hand out to you today. Did you know that? He's reaching out to each and every one of you, and he's saying, grab my hand. I'm inviting you to grab my hand because I want to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ask or think in your own life. Just grab my hand, and I'll lift you up and pull you up, but don't just stay there. What I want you to do is, as I'm lifting you up, reach your hand back and grab somebody else and pull them along for the journey. Listen, you got to pull somebody else out. If you want to see the miraculous of God in your life, reach back and grab somebody else. In Swahili, it's called Sankofa. Sankofa means to look back, to reach back, and to bring somebody else along with you. God doesn't want cul-de-sac Christians. He's looking for somebody to be a conduit that he can bless through and not just absorb. God wants to do that to you and through you. This lame man who was standing there begging for coins to get by. What did he do? He was sitting there waiting for somebody to put something in his cup. And instead of getting something in his cup, he actually got what he desperately needed. Complete healing. He got what he was not expecting. He got far and beyond what he could even imagine was possible. Folks, what you're asking for from God is too small. What you've been begging from God is too little. It's too minuscule. God wants to do abundance in your life. God wants to do abundance in this city. God wants to do abundance in this country, but he's waiting for us to partner with him so he can do the miraculous. Oh, man, I guess that's not exciting. That's powerful. Quest, thank you. I love this value of the vineyard because it not only identifies who we are and what we do as a church, partnering with the Holy Spirit, but it gives us hope that God loves us and wants more for us than we can even imagine. It gives us hope. God wants you to partner with his Holy Spirit in every area of your life. As you return to school, God wants you to do your part, study, but then pray and watch him do the miraculous through you. God wants you, as you look for a new job, as you're looking for a promotion on your job, to do the work, to get the job, to move forward, but then put the rest in his hands and watch him do the miraculous in your situation. Whatever the situation is, whether it's in your home, with your kids, in your marriage, do your part and leave the rest to God and watch him do something with it. So maybe you're here today. And you're looking for something from God. Maybe you came here today feeling empty and needing God to fill you. Maybe you're here today and you desperately need God to show up in some area. Maybe you're here today with your cup. You're asking God to put a couple of cents in your cup. To put some change in your cup. God says, destroy your cup. Your cup is too small. I want to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask or think in your life. Expect greatness from God. Are you willing to accept that? Worship team is coming to pray. And I want you to think on a few things while the worship team is coming. You see, where in your life do you need God to show up? Where in your life have you been begging God to show up? Maybe, God, if you just take away this pain. Oh, God, if you just reach this one person in my life. God, can you just do, get me this job? Oh, God, can you help me pass this class? God says, those are great and wonderful things, but that's just a cup. I got a whole basket ready for you. The question is, do you want it? Or do you want change? God wants to bless you. And give you more than you can ever ask or think. I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you stand with me? There's somebody here today who is looking for something from God, but God wants to take you deeper. Somebody here today doesn't want the surface. Matter of fact, somebody here today is tired of the surface blessings. You're tired of the change in the cup. You want something more holistic and complete. God wants to blow your mind today. But he wants to know, are you interested in or willing to partner with me in prayer, in power, and in practice? Or do you just want my stuff? Listen, if you want to partner with the Holy Spirit, what He's up to in your life, I'm going to ask you, while the worship team is singing, to use this opportunity as your step forward. God, symbolically, I'm coming to the front, and that is my step to put my hand in your hand. That if I put my hand in your hand, you guarantee that you will lift me up out of my despair. You will lift me up out of my depression. You will lift me up out of my disappointment. You will lift me up out of all the things that are dragging me down, and you will place me at a higher level, at a deeper depth. You will take me beyond what I can even imagine. I want to invite you to come up for prayer. The front row is yours. And I'm going to say this. If you want to come up, you want to spend time with God on your own, or you would like somebody from the prayer team to lay their hand on you, come up and sit on the front row while the worship team is singing. Or you can come up and bow at the altar, the stage, use all this space that God has blessed us with. Use this as your opportunity to say, God, I symbolically put my hand in yours. Don't wait. Will you come?